right. You look good when you float around, right? All right. So, as we watch your transformation through this workshop, as you put your pieces together, know that you're weaving and weaving this new identity. You're weaving this thread, a new thread of self, leading to the divine, leading you out of the darkness, out of the chaos, leading you to the place where you can step into and be actually seen, recognized as who you are. It's not that you're going to provide answers to other people, but you're going to offer them the right questions to ask. If you search for answers yourself, you don't get anywhere. Perhaps you've noticed that. People who are beginners, and you've noticed this, people who are beginners in their spiritual development get very attracted to going to this psychic, to that psychic, to the other psychic. And one of them proudly proclaimed to the channel after one of the Wednesday night sessions how she had been to a psychic who had said that she had been this famous person in Atlantis, and that she had, or whatever, had these other lifetimes on these other planets and had done this and that and was at working at the such and such dimension of this. And so the channel just like lifts an eyebrow. Oh, yeah? She wanted a reading from Galexis, she says. All right, because I want to know more about myself. So the channel says, well, you know, well, what about all that? Well, she wants to know, she says, how, you know, this lifetime and that lifetime and what to do with this and that and want to know about this and that to understand what she's doing here. Now, we're delighted that you're not in that space. You might have gone through it at one point. But you realize that what you're doing now is you're asking questions, good questions, for yourself. Sometimes you say, well, where to go next? What to do next? All right, well, sometimes that question doesn't have enough definition to bring to you a response, but normally you will get a response with a message that you can read in one form or another. Your realities are getting very, very appropriate, perfectly responsive, reflective of you from your own perception. It's always been thus, but you're able to read it now. You're able to get the messages better. And because you have a better sense of self, you're able to make your choices more wisely. As you weave this thread of self, and knowing more and more who you are as the divine being, you don't need to know what you're supposed to do. Who you're supposed to be with, or any supposed to's. This is the new school, the new paradigm. You're not some kind of unwilling instrument or willing instrument of some mastermind on some other level. And because of that, you don't have to fear all the conspiracies that are being exposed, revealed, mostly imagined, and their devastating effects on you. You don't have to fear them. You don't have to buy into the mythologies that are floating around out there. Yes, they're out there to reflect to you and say, hello, here's what some people are saying and here's what people are doing. Is this of interest to you? How does that reflect what you're doing in you, in your growth? How come that's showing up in your consciousness right now? How come that's coming to you? If you were a beginner, you would say, well, it's coming to me because it's destiny, and it means that I must do this or that, or this is the truth and I must embrace it. And no, it may be absolutely untrue, unnecessary, useless information. But what you want to look at it as is that you're sifting and sorting. You're sifting and sorting possibilities, options, ideas that are out there so that you can understand more of the people that you work with, more of the strange perceptions sometimes that may show up within your own psyche. And you say, oh yeah, that's connected. I'm picking up some of that. Or maybe just as a reflection of what you know, because it'll be very obviously false, very obviously strange. And you say, oh yeah, because this is what I do know. This is what I do feel in my heart is true for me. And as you weave your own mythology, your own identity, your new identity, as a light being, bringing the new paradigm to yourself and to the world, all those old pieces you've spent years working with, all the challenges, shift their nature. You celebrate a new freedom and allow yourself to heal at levels you've not allowed before. With every addition to your awareness of self, you allow more healing for you. And in the process, you heal more of your planet. You can't help it. It's just the way you are. You came here out of love. You wanted to give. Your heart was open and free and flowing. And the journeys that you've been through with that dear heart of yours, the twists and the contortions and the valleys and the tunnels you've been through. But as you weave a reality of safety, freedom, love and power, the four grid matrix part is just an anchor stone of the paradigm. You step into your self-realization. And that love flows free and effortless from you to your world. There's big healing on the world that's happening. It's happening just right now as you go through this workshop because of you. And there's going to come a day that you're going to see your impact on the world directly. Right now, you may sense it. But there will come that time that you will own it. Surfing the wave of possibility in your mastery. Exhilarating, right? All right, so let's have another question, another point of view, another experience, yes?
Thank you, Calixtus. This is Connie.
Hello.
Thank you so much for that last process. That was so powerful for me and something that I've been dealing with for many, many years, incident that started from when I was 3 years old. And it was all centered around what I realized with this one. Finally, after years of working with this, it was the incident in which I made a decision to give my power away to men to approve or not approve of my body. And, you know, I'm taking that power back now.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
It feels good and solid.
It feels really good and it feels really solid. And there's some forgiveness still that I have to do with myself about having given away that power. Because that was my... I mean, I was three. I didn't really know any better. But...
But you love your three-year-old, don't you?
Yes, I do. And I've done work going back to that incident and...
Oh, how many times?
How many times? And loving her.
Somehow or another, every process spirals. Where's it going? Where's it going? Oh, back to the three-year-old, of course.
Oh, my gosh. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was so weird. The one question that has always remained about it was this force of energy that flattened me on that examination table, because I was being examined by my pediatrician with my mother in the room. And the twisted part of that whole thing was that this was a man that my mother had wanted to marry, and he rejected her. And so there she is some years later with her two children and bringing her daughter in, kids in to be examined by this pediatrician. And there I was on the table, you know, closed off the whole bit. And at some point, I mean, he just did something that I don't think he meant to be wrong. It wasn't abusive in any way, but I felt this energy suddenly. It was like a wall of energy flattened me against that table, and I've never forgotten. It was invisible energy, but the whole world just went whoom. Mm-hmm. And I have a sense that it was my mother's shame that mm-hmm. I got flattened with and then I bought into. That's my sense of it. But how this ties in, because I think this piece is all really coming together and getting integrated, where this ties in with the question I really want to ask now is about more of a light piece, light shadow piece that began a couple of years ago in a workshop where Lazarus was talking to a couple of people in succession, and he was saying to them, talking to them about their capacity for love, their tremendous capacity for love. And what goes on in my head, what went on in my head during those moments was this knee-jerk reaction of, oh, that's so nice for them. You know, having a sense of awe about them. So nice for them. Automatically dismissing that could ever be true for me. Certainly not. You know, it was just like a knee jerk, right? And then I'm thinking about that and thinking about that, and then it was like somebody took the record and went, wait a minute. Why is that so automatic? And so I started thinking about that during this whole process that was going on. And what I came to was that I couldn't really necessarily at that moment own my tremendous capacity for love. But the word that did come up was caring. Mm-hmm. And I realized that was a piece of my light shadow that I was beginning to integrate. And I have been just thinking about that. And it's come up so often in my life in the sense of something hurting me or someone hurting me. And then my response is, why do I care so much? Why do I even care so much? Why do I care? And the truth is that I do. I mm-hmm. do care. And so I'd really like you to talk to me about that whole issue of caring. I think it's a very important part of my soul. It's a part of my soul's personality. Mm-hmm. I'd like some perspective on it. How what that means, how it relates to capacity for loving, how it's different, how to bring that into the world.
All right. Well, we're going to start with age 3. Surprise, right?
Surprise.
You've cared from the get-go. It's just part of you. You cared enough to actually come to the planet.
Right.
Your heart pulled you. See, all of you, before you came to the planet, you looked at lifetime on planet Earth, and then you saw the planet. As if you see it from space. You know that beautiful blue marble? Mm-hmm. And you saw this planet, and your heart. Not that you were in a physical body like at that time, but the part of you that, you said, yes, how beautiful, how marvelous. And you came to the planet out of tremendous love for that planet, for the excitement over the adventure. And when you arrived, you found so much pain. And in your consciousness, because when you first arrived, you did not, let's say, go and experience caveman energy, right? You weren't this kind of unconscious. Oh, yeah, you imprinted some lifetimes like that so you could kind of understand what that was about. You went straight into a lifetime of power, and you saw that you were taking care of a lot of people. You were a leader. And you saw their pain. There's a particular lifetime in which you saw their pain. It was a famine, and you saw the children die.
Oh.
And you were just at a loss. You didn't get focused on some personal little shame piece or anything like that. Instead, you just sat there and cared, and you cried for your people because there's nothing you could do. And this caring evoked in you a choice that you made on a very deep soul level, that you were going to continue to care, and you were going to find ways to utilize this power of caring to heal and to lift people out of that pain, that suffering, that torment. Now, you live now in a country that is relatively prosperous, so you haven't seen children with bloated bellies and flies and, you know, sunken eyes and bony fingers with no energy, listless, waiting for death. You just don't see that, you know. Yeah, you see some homeless people, but they're not like that. But you may see pictures of Africa, you know, and famines there. How do you feel when you see a picture like that from Africa?
I can barely bear seeing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it reminds you of your promise to yourself.
Yeah, it does.
It reminds you of your choice.
Yeah.
But this is not the lifetime where you're going to go and, like we said, do the Mother Teresa thing.
No.
Because you are creating a consciousness. You are co-creating, in a sense, an empire of light, an incredible new foundation of reality, and offering it to people all over the world on an energetic level, on a multidimensional level. At 3, your caring was such that you picked up your mother's pain.
Right.
And you saw how it was connected to him. You saw how she had given her power away to him.
Oh. Okay.
And you said, I can't bear that my mother is so unhappy. Because if she's unhappy, how can I live? How can I be okay? And you took it on. And he took your power. Right there on the table. You did it. You gave it, her your power so your mother would not have to. You flattened because your power holds you, holds your energy field. If there had been someone there who could read auras, they would see you flatten. Indeed, that was absolutely accurate. Your energy field just...
Yep.
And when you see pain, it's very easy for you to deplete yourself energetically and your aura shrink in. And you have to work always against that.
Yeah.
But what we would suggest is that the contract for that was with your mother.
Oh.
All right. And so we'd suggest from the place where you are now, you might have already broken the contract with her in the past. We sense that you've done some work with that. But we would suggest that now you take that on and
okay.
clear and heal on an energetic level, heal your relationship with your mother, take your power back because you gave your, take your power back from that doctor, right?
Yeah.
And take your power back from your mother because you gave, in essence, by taking on your mother's pain, you gave, you kept feeding her. You fed her your energy. You fed her your power
yeah.
so that she would not be so unhappy.
Oh.
Now, you've done this to other people. You've given power to other people, too.
Yes.
To try and... strengthen them.
Yeah.
To lift
yeah,
them.
Absolutely.
Okay, come on, you can do it. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Come on. And
yeah.
you cared so much you would give your power away. When you break the contract with your mother, you must also break that promise, break the vow that you've made to give your power away to everyone who needs it. So to lift them up. That's the old shamanic style of healing we talked about.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh.
All right, that makes sense, yes?
Yeah, that goes back to that Jewish lifetime.
Ah, all right.
Levy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Wandering around in the wilderness, huh?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you were a spiritual leader.
Yeah.
And what else is a spiritual leader going to do? And that was, I mean, that was, it was... What is considered shamanic is very tribal. You know?
So yeah.
You were a servant of the people. So
yeah.
that meant every resource of yours was at others' disposal.
Yeah.
So all your resources now are not at anyone's disposal. They are to create a bridge of light and energy. And then you can say, crooking your finger, motioning a beckoning indicator.
Come on, Anne, the water's fine.
Yep, come on. Here's a cool bridge. I've been where you are. I've been powerless like you. But here's a way to go. And you've blazed that trail to take them into safety. Because you never, when a person was in pain, you never felt safe again. Because you knew as soon as you were with a person in pain, what was going to happen, right?
Yep. Here, let me take
Oops.
That from you.
All right. Now, once you shift this, once you break that choice of self-sacrifice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, when you are offered the opportunity of a relationship of great depth, of great love and intimacy with someone, one of the functions of love being caring, of course,
mm-hmm.
you'll be able to care for this person and hold your resonance. Hold the love. And what will that mean to your relationship? You will remain empowered throughout your relationship. It won't be a dance. Give power away. No, take it back. Give power away. Take it back. Right?
Yeah.
And you won't look at a relationship with the idea of, oh, no, now I have to, you know, be strong and make myself, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what happens if I find a person's weak spot and I'm intimate and close to them? Uh-oh. You won't fear that anymore. It's safe. It's safe to really let a person be in their weak spot. And when you can let them be safe in their weak spot, because to them, it's a little bit of a violation for you to come in and take stuff, take their stuff, take their pain on them, because they lose connection with it. They lose responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, by giving them your power, oddly enough, you disempower them.
Right.
You see, now you know that's in the past.
Yes.
But the point is that you can start anticipating a future in which not only do you not do that, but it enables them to be responsible for their space, for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of relationship can that make? Two adults.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. A personal dream of mine.
Mm-hmm. A real good play partner, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And this doesn't necessarily have to be love. It can be friendship. It can be in work. Any place. Any person that you relate to. You can get close to them again. You can have intimacy levels that have always scared you.
Yes.
All right. Anyone else have this?
No.
Now, admittedly, a lot of what she's gone through is on a traditional basis, more what the female in a relationship goes through. But there also is another dance with that, typical in your culture, that the male goes through. The power that the male gives up, generally, in a relationship. Some women do this one too. Just as you gave your power to a man to approve or disapprove of your body and all sorts of other things. You gave all sorts of values and so forth for him to assign for you.
Right.
Men can do this to a woman by giving her the power to evaluate his worth or not. And for a man in your traditional chauvinistic masculine culture, it's all about performance. It becomes a performance. The relationship and the things that the man does, the actions that he must do for the woman in a love relationship and specifically in a partnership, the job of the man becomes a performance-oriented thing. And the wife is the one who evaluates whether the performance was good or not. And if the performance is good, she's happy and pleased. And if it's not, she criticizes, wet blankets. And if, for some reason or another, she criticizes and he feels not really quite good enough and feels shamed, back in child, he'll make a promise to himself. He'll do better next time. She'll be pleased next time. But the child makes the promise, just as your child made the contractual arrangement. For men, the child makes the contractual arrangement. For the wife to be the mother, to determine whether he's a good boy or not, and to give him feedback, to give him his approval. And when he gets stuck in that, he will, of course, because his child makes the promise, he will fail. He will fail. You cannot fulfill your child's promises. They don't work because a child is functioning from not knowing, from a place of powerlessness. So the child will make a promise just to kind of get the guy feeling he's like cleared the slate. He can feel a little bit more innocent again. Okay. We're starting over again. All right. Cool. Okay. Made a new promise. Okay. I'm ready to go again. But if the unhappiness of the woman shows up again, it is like a wound. It is painful. It is hurtful. And so every time a woman asks her man to do something for her, uh-oh, I've got to perform. And she's asking me to perform, and if I don't go do a good job, oh gosh, what she's going to do, she's going to not like it. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to perform. I don't want to get onto this track. That's where all those jokes emerge about the honey-do list, you know, where the guy feels like he's really, you know, loaded down with all the stuff he's got to do for the wife. He looks to other men for, you know, sympathy, you know. Oh, yeah, I just have to do so much. I have to work on the house over the weekend. And they all commiserate with each other. Yeah. Because they all know they're all in performance. They're all little boys waiting. Oh, gosh, did I do it right this time? Because the child is the one that's monitoring. Okay, is the promise kept now? Am I okay? And am I absolved of my inadequacy now? Of my guilt? And the sensitive men are hit the worst with this. Because they care. They care. They care so much. But it's sissy to care. So they have to put on the performance. So in your culture, the male has to become unconscious. That's partly a response to you as well, Bonnie. It's part of the structure. Because he has to be numb to the child's fear and terror and feelings of inadequacy and never good enough. And the child will never get there. There's never a place where the child's going to feel, okay, done, I feel fine, I'm great, self-esteem, yay. Because the child is always saying, well, yeah, okay, maybe it's okay for right now, but read her face carefully. Does she really look happy? What's about the next thing she's going to ask you to do? Are you making enough money? Are you doing the right things? Are you keeping the car fixed? Or whatever, you know? Keeping up with your obligations. It becomes an imprisonment for the man that he has to break. He has to break out of the promise. He has to break out of the hiding. He has to break out of the child. So you can see how the female version and the male version will dovetail perfectly. Yeah. Okay, so the woman's job, and the way the woman sees it is, oh, men, they have these egos, and you've got to baby and pamper their egos, and they're such little boys. Yeah. Why? Where are you? You're a mom, aren't you? Because you think that's the way to love. You know, little girls look at their mother and say, okay, you know, mother picks up after me. That must be love, you know? Mother punishes me, tells me, whatever. This must be love. Child doesn't know. The little girl looks for the definition. I've got to be like that when I grow up, see? So the whole definition of love for a woman initially is mother. The whole definition of love for the guy comes from being nurtured and babied and approved of, and, oh, what a big step you took today. Little boy plays. Oh, what does this do to love? Ugh. Urge to upchuck, right? So what you're doing with your choice to take on your mother's shame and to give power to men is something that many, many girls do on one level or another. Because if they make their mother happy, see, the mother is the measurement of, are you worth loving or not? Are you okay enough? Are you good enough? You good girl, good boy. Who determines that? Not generally dad. That's generally mom. And who brings the reward? Good food, you know, nurturing. When you're a little kid, you know, and your mom will bathe you and put clean clothes on you and or tuck you in the clean sheets at night. Doesn't that feel good? Oh, the basic nurturing, right? So that's what love must be. That's child love. Security and safety and nurturing. That's what you all are learning to give to your inner child. So that you, the adult, can function. Why don't we let go of that pattern? Would you be up for that?
Yes, please.
Because even if you've let it go, even if you're aware of this really, really limiting pattern, your whole consensus culture is stuck in it, just stuck. And it's one of the major obstacles to spiritual development. What ends up, you get guys who compensate for all of this by being spiritual egotists. You know, how many spiritual male leaders have sex with their women followers, you know? Or they just have this total ego that, you know, basically everybody has to ooh and ah all over them. And everything that they say and everything they do, ooh, ah. Right? And women have to come across as being divinely inspired, angelic messengers of mercy and love. Right? That's how women lead spiritual leaders. That's also ego. Right? I've got the inner connection. I'm here to love you so much, to show you the way to your love. And sometimes they show a beautiful path to ego. Right? Or lead people by a circuitous route right back to this same pattern. They become mothers to all their students. And the guys look for approval, look for mommy, and look for sex. Look to get stuff, to feel nurtured, to be treasured, to be pampered, to be seen as special. All right. Enough, right? You got it. Yeah, enough, all right. Yeah, we're ready to go, right? Ready to, like, throw this shit, in, you know, away, right? Okay. All right, so let yourself relax, close your eyes. Nice, relaxing breath, centering now. You've done a lot of centering. You're very much into your integration process. Grounding. We're grounding you above and below, just strengthening the cords. We're going to go with a focus to first and second chakras. And we suggest that you pay attention to this part of your body. First chakra, associated with security. Also associated with elimination. When you're nervous, when you're hyper-excited, your elimination process goes to one polarity or another. You can get very constipated, or you can have the runs. When tension is there and you're under threat, you never generally take it to that much. It's just a little bit. But there's a sense of lack of safety right there. Is it going to be okay? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to be approved of enough? Am I going to survive? Because when you were a child, approval was your survival. Attention was your love. You needed infinite amounts of it because you were felt abandoned from the great love. You felt lost and disconnected from the great love, and you were seeking this love from your parents, generally your mother, in the first couple of years of your life. Seeking the love, seeking, am I lovable enough that I will survive? And whatever is required of me that I must give in order to survive, in order to be loved enough to survive, in order to be approved of enough to survive, in order to be given enough attention, I will do that. Realize you made a choice. Your culture, training it into you with your potty training, to begin with, and other things. Is mother pleased? Can I relax my sphincter and have a bowel movement, or is she going to be upset at the mess? All sorts of things that you don't remember went on there in the first 2 years of life. But overall, you were hungry, you were needy, you were starved. For affection, for love, for nurturing. The starved feeling. Just tune into it right there at the base. And how, if you don't get enough, how insecure you feel. Just let yourself go there to that place of the child. Just tune into that old, old place. You may not really feel it deeply, and that's okay. You just want to access this place. And we are going to come along with your soul. And we're going to do some healing on you. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to heal your root chakra. Because you gotta be safe. And you set it up, your culture set it up, that men and women are not safe in their relationships. They call it the war between the sexes. Who's getting the attention? Who's getting more love? It becomes a competition. Who's getting approval? When both partners are seeking it, their inner child seeking it from the other. Taught to from the get-go. All right, so we're going to go right in there. We're still shimmering around you, you know. Part of why you've been floating. And we're going to put a beautiful little diamond in there. But this diamond is not in the usual facets of a diamond that you see at the jeweler's. It's shaped in the shape of a dull tetrahedron, sparkling. A double tetrahedron has six apparent sides. The two bases of the tetrahedrons connected inside in the center. So you have, it's like a double terminated crystal in the saints. Two three-sided pyramidal structures connected at the base. Sparkling, dazzling. Just going to plant it right in there. With your little fire breath to clean out the energy, to create a space and to implant it. So here we go. And as we put it in there, as we clean out the space to put it in, there's debris coming out. So just sense it, some kind of dark debris just kind of spilling out. Can come out in many ways, maybe like a smoke, maybe like a little dirt falling, like little particles or flakes, like a kind of a spongy energy or sticky goo. Just notice what texture comes out. Now we're going to suck out in a spiral breath. Just us. You don't need to do anything. Just open and we'll pull out all that dark stuff that's displaced now. Here we go. Soul comes. Your soul sitting next to you with the unconditional love, soft, gentle, deep, has not left your side. It's still there, beautiful light. Feel the light softly on your body, on that side, wherever it is, and let it just come to you. And let it reach some energy, some light into your root chakra and just touch with love. This place where you have been insecure in your life. Oh yeah, you're so much better now. Oh, light is like night and day. But deep down inside is the memory, the identity of the insecure you. Sense that small child, infant, maybe 1, maybe 2 years of age, maybe 3. The child in there, helpless, needs to be taken care of, can't do things for itself, cannot earn its own living and stand up for itself. Just sense that child within you. Now you've healed it. You've healed it already several times. But what is left? What is remaining? is the imprint on the child of what is love. Its definition of love. You want to give the child what its definition of love is. The soul now is installing in your root chakra, into your survival mechanism, as much love as you can possibly handle. But the inner child is not getting it because the inner child feels there's a condition. There's a requirement. A requirement that's beyond its capacity. So since this child, this very, very young one, in your mind, just pick it up in your arms and hold it like you would a very small child or a baby. Just hold it lovingly in your arms. Hold it to your chest. Feel the love coming up from your root chakra now and feeling it coming up your spine. And feel it coming to your heart. And feel it flood your heart. And feel the love of your heart coming out to this one in your arms. Feel it flood them. Flood this little child or baby. And tell it, speak to it in your mind. Reassure it, nurture it, maybe bounce it a little bit. Love it. You're safe, little one. You're safe in my arms. I'll take care of you. I love you. I'll take care of you. You beautiful little bundle of light and love. You beautiful little one. I love you. You don't have to do anything. Just be my little one. I love you. It's safe. You're my treasure. You're so special. And feel the little one in your arms. Feel this one just melt, kind of. Just the energy of it just kind of melt. And let it just merge into you. Let it merge into your heart. Feeling full. Fill up your heart to space with it. Feeling full. With the love of soul. With the shimmer of our love. And the love you give this one. Full and rich in there. And as you do this, as you feel this, give yourself permission to be okay. You are okay. You see this little helpless one. And there's nothing to approve of. There's no criterion. You love just the way it is. And you've taken this into you. So now love you just the way you are. Just the way your soul loves you. The way we love you. Just the way you are. Nothing to do. Just be. You. That's enough. To feel full and loved. And send this love, this fullness, in your mind. Send this love and fullness out to all those on the planet who suffer, who feel a lack of love, who look in their relationships for love, who are needy. Send this love out to the world. Just imagine that you're just sending it in concentric circles or ripples, a ripple effect, perhaps, starting with you, out into your world. It is so needed now, so many people lost in the economic crisis, that they don't feel okay. They feel they've made big mistakes. Or they feel victimized by others. They're worried. They're frightened. They're insecure. They don't know if they're going to survive. Let them know they're okay. They're all okay. Because they're all beautiful sparks of light, every one of them. Even the ones that act most despicably and irresponsibly. That's it. Until you just kind of sense that around the planet there is these billions of sparks of light. And the world is full. Just feel that level of frequency. Just let it lift you. Just sense the greatness of it. Because when this moment arises, this is the ascension of your planet. Sense it now. Sense that energy now. All the little child selves all over the planet at peace. No more tormented inner child. Imagine the peace of the people feeling full and loved and safe to be themselves. Precious lights. Precious beings that they are. Filled with the light of your soul and your love. You don't own this level of impact yet. But let yourself just stretch a minute, a few seconds. Just stretch and imagine what if you could be the one to create this and feel this. And now let your attention go back into your body. Feeling much lighter, feeling much freer. And now go to your second chakra, to your sexual organs, inside your sacrum, deep in your pelvis. This is where most people, virtually everyone, hides their shame, their humiliation and their failures, their judgments of themselves, the judgments they took upon themselves from others, the comparisons they've made with others where they find themselves lacking. You stashed shame here too, an unworthiness, a poor performance, or just simply because of who you are, you've just never been quite good enough. Not valued, not appreciated, not supported, the way that you would have liked. Just let yourself tune in to this place. There's some twisted sexual desire in there. The shame gets twisted into sex, becomes very kinky. All that stuff, all that pornography. It's about twists and turns of power and twists and turns of shame. Degradation of self. Loss of power. You gave your power away to others in your life, starting in childhood. You gave your power away with the assumption that you would get something back for it. That you would get approval, that you would get love, validation, acceptance. It would, in a sense, tell you whether you're smart or you've made progress. You've given someone else in your life, hers for some of you, you have at times given anyone else in your life that comes along, even a sales clerk, the power to validate you or invalidate you. The power to make you feel okay or not. Looking. Giving your power away, thinking that maybe this would please. Although it never seems to. The self that, perhaps a little older, child, puberty, perhaps even adolescent, suffers here. Suffers in the wounds and the pains of this area, of this chakra. A lot of going to school reinforces the shame, the wounding, and shuts down the incredible generative, creative energy that's there. Shuts down the sexuality, twists it into the acceptable forms of your society, or through the rebel, the unacceptable forms of sexuality. Let us now, once again, put a diamond in this chakra. This diamond is going to look like a regular faceted diamond. Sparkling, dazzling, clear, huge, huge, brilliant. A diamond so good and big and shiny that if it were in physical manifestation, would instantly make you a multimillionaire by selling it. Right? But no, hold it in you. It represents, and it was going to hold your worth, your value, appraisal of yourself. You see, when your soul looks at you through assessor eyes, they see someone of infinite value and worth. We've told you that as well. How would it be if you realized how worthy, how valuable you are? Regardless of the quality of your performance. Regardless of what you do. Here is where you give your power away to some other one, known often as the other. You give that person your reference point. Now, when you're a child, you give it to your parents. But as you move into adolescence, sometimes older childhood into adolescence, you shift it to social approval, You shift it to crushes, perhaps, or fascinations with celebrities. You give it, perhaps, to teachers. You start taking on the structures, the patterns of society. And out there you see relationships between men and women. And even the one that you are now, you can see it also between, in love relationships between men and other men, women and other women. Any duo with love as its focus, as its intent. See this play, the seeking of validation through performance. Traditionally, the woman will do all sorts of service. I'll take care of you. I'll pick up after you. I'll wash your clothes or cook your food or the man, well, I'll bring in the money and I'll repair the this and that and I'll do these practical things and take out the garbage. And while you may laugh at it, it seems to be so silly and perhaps superficial. Underneath it all, you see the pain. You see the implications. That one must seek the other for approval and set the other one up to give them that. To give them the reference of where they're at. How close to okay they are. How enough they are. Have they done enough? Are they good enough? Are they nice and loving enough? Are they caring enough? Are they smart enough? Are they important enough? Are they clever enough? Are they resourceful enough? What did you do? What did you seek in your first love relationships, in your first romances? What kind of approval did you need to bolster you up, to make you feel okay? As we insert this diamond, we're going to clear some debris. And as before, watch and see what texture it is, perhaps what color it is, as it emerges from you. Here we go. So now let us take that debris. We'll spiral it, pull it out of you, and release it. Here we go. Let it go. Okay, just a little bit left. Come on, let it go. And now, let your soul touch this one with its infinite love, softly, gently, with total acceptance, unconditional love. Feel the healing, the diamond shining your light. Establishing your value, your light, your power, your creative resonance right here. And your soul healing. Healing the wounds of relationship. healing the old rejections and the assumptions you made, healing the loss of power. And let it just feel nice and warm. Let it fill up your whole sexual area. Let it straighten out the kinks and the twists and the distortions of your sexuality. Just let it do some healing here. There you go. And now take your power back from the other. You probably have. But take it back for this one that you were. For the adolescent, the puberty, perhaps the older child. Take power back for them. For their sake. Take power back for yours. Take power back for your world. Take your power back from anyone else you have given this power to be your reference point, to show you, to indicate to you whether you are better, stronger, smarter than you have been, whether you're doing a good enough job or not good enough, whether you are serving, loving, caring good enough. Come on, take the power back. It may be more than one individual. Let them stand in for Varios. Let your parents, you know how when you're grown up and you go back to visit, you see your level of growth, you see your maturity contrasted in their response. Let that go. And anyone whose opinion is extremely critical to you, maybe your mate, let it go. Come on, take your power back. And your mind, just kind of breathe it in. Power, return to me. Power, return to me. Just let it be. Come, let it come to you. Return it. Feel yourself getting stronger. Come on. Power. Return to me. There you go. That's good. That's good. Just keep thinking that. Just keep breathing it in. Notice that this one or more that you're carrying, taking it back from, they're dissolving. They're dissipating. They're breaking up. Bring it back until they're gone. Power. Return to me. So there's no sensing that they're there anymore. All your power, your reference point, is returned to you now. There you go. Feel the fullness, the richness within you. Feel the strength of your light there in your second chakra. A place that normally doesn't feel your strongest. Maybe feels your neediest sometimes. Let it be full and comfortable. Feel your sensuality. Feel your approval of your body. Okay, you've judged your body. Let it go. You're the reference point now. You've been judging your body through society's eyes, through other people's eyes. Let it go. Come on, approve of your own body. It is just right for you at this moment. Oh yeah, you're going to make it healthier. You'll work with it to make it stronger and more vibrant and feel better and look better for you. But take the judgments off now. Take the fear of judgments off as well. Come on, let it go. Just drop it. Take a nice deep breath in, and with the exhale, just let it go. There you go. Looks like we're going to have to do some more pulling on you. All right. This is a toughie. All right, so we're going to do some pulling on you. So just, you can exhale with us, or just not, you know, just open and let us pull it out, okay? But give yourself permission now to let it go. You don't need it anymore. You don't need to know where you stand about your body with anybody but you. All right, here we go. Okay, love your body. Love it. Say, hey, body, I love you. Just mentally, just love your body. Approve of it. It's been working. Maybe not as good as you'd like it to. But don't kick it around. It's not its fault. Okay? Let all the judgment go. Come on, just keep it going. Keep it gone. Don't take any back. Think about your body. Imagine looking in the mirror and seeing your body. Okay, any judgments that come up, just go. There you go. Let them go. Until you can really look at your body now. Totally in approval. Good body. I love you. Interesting how as soon as you start thinking about and looking at your body in the mirror, how some judgments started coming up. Eh? All right. Good. Good, good. All right, now all the shame that you've had in there. You're carrying the shame not of you, but of your world. You've done a lot of shame release, and you've released a lot of shame just with what we've done right now. Tremendous amount of shame is gone. You should feel much better about yourself right at the moment. But let's do it for the world now, too. Let's do it for everyone you've ever cared about as well. Right? So take that shame, the residue of that shame, the implant, okay, the seed of it, the implant of it. Everyone gets implanted with shame. Find it. Like a lump of coal, perhaps, or of a hard metal, dark, forbidding, heavy. Find it within you somewhere, possibly somewhere between the second and the third chakra, or between the second and the first chakra somewhere, hiding in there. What we've done, it's a lot of it's been hiding. This, the lump, has been hiding. We call it the lump because sometimes people's cancer lumps are their shame seed, their shame implant. Okay? So find your shame implant. You've been hiding it so no one would see it. Spending so much energy doing such a dance to hide it. What would your life be like if you didn't have to hide it anymore? Okay, so you would say something stupid. All right, so you'd fall over your own feet. You know that the adolescent would be absolutely humiliated. The young adult would feel, oh gosh, I'm a failure. The child would say, uh-oh, I'm not going to be loved now. I'll be excluded, says the adolescent. Abandoned, says a child. Lonely, says a young adult. Can you feel the fears of that, the threats of that? If someone were to see me less than perfect, someone see me make a mistake, Some of you have paid dear prices in other lifetimes for your mistakes. But you don't have to here. Mistakes are part of creativity. It's a second chakra thing. Creativity is messy. You try a bunch of things. Okay, that didn't work. Oh, let's go back to the drawing board. Let's try this. It's an experiment. It's a play. It's a creation. What if you were free to do this without fear of judgment, of exposure, of a visibility that would expose your vulnerabilities, your weaknesses, your potential shames, so that others could attack you, control you, take from you? What if that wasn't even there? So take this lump, dear ones, and give this lump to your parents who gave it to you. Just give it to them. Maybe you break it in two. Okay, here you go. And they take it and they look kind of dazzled. What is this? You know? Oh, you gave me this. Okay. See them turn around and give them, break it up and give it to their parents. See your grandparents turn around and give it to their parents, to your great grandparents. Strangely, when you break it, it doesn't get smaller. It's the same size. It just divides in two, like a cell division. So that everybody's getting this lump. It's going back through the generations. Now watch it, like a wave, back through your ancestry. Come on, watch it go back. It's been with the human race a long time. All the way back. Come on, just keep it going. Just, it goes out. Soon you seem to be surrounded by hosts, crowds, thousands. Thousands of people. Your ancestors. And interestingly enough, other people that are not in your ancestry are picking it up. Aunts and uncles. Family members spreading out ripples, more and more ripples, interweaving like waves, complex waves on a windy day on a pond. Ripples crossing other ripples, spreading out from you further and further and further into infinity. Billions of people all the way back, out, back. Spreading back to the source of human life on the planet. Back to the beginning of human biology. There it is. And now send your love to your parents. Free of shame now. Free of needing anything from them. Free of your power or their power. Just send them love. They did their job, the commission that you gave them to do what they had to do for your life, to teach you how to be or how not to be. And they send the love back to your grandparents. And now watch the love as a ripple of light and warmth, caring, generosity of spirit. A sense of joy, a lift, a healing. Watch it just ripple through your ancestry and all the family of your ancestry. Going on, back. Far. There it is. Love all the way back. All the way back to the beginning of biology. And then, as if it is in a rebound, it begins to spread back down through time in other lineages. Spreading over the planet, coming, speeding through generation after generation after generation of people of all races and all countries, continents, spiritual families, physical families, until it comes to the present. Just watch it. It's filling up and touching light on every soul on the planet. Oh, so many billions. Another planet is just alive with light. Just be with that. Yeah, we talked to you about it. You know, there's going to be the day that everyone's going to acknowledge their light. That's the essential. And what if they can acknowledge their light without shame, without any unworthiness? They can then acknowledge truly their divinity, as can you. There's nothing to hide anymore. And you find yourself making the choice as if you are now pulling yourself together, standing in your own authority. You make the choice. I will not hide who I am any longer. It is my time to share who I am with the world. There you go. Just own it. Allow it. Let this choice be almost, in a sense, the most obvious, natural choice to make now. The easy choice for you in your power. And the love of your soul that filled up your second chakra has expanded to fill the rest of you, to fill your whole aura, to radiate and stream through your frequencies with your love, combined with our love. Let your beams of light just radiate out and shine your light. Just shine. That's it. Gently. You don't have to make a big thing of it. You're already about 20 feet tall anyway. Just let it radiate out there. It's natural for you to be in this space. Feel the ease and flow and freedom of your first and second chakras now, and the openness of your heart, the strength of your crystalline back, the channel of light in you. Feel the connection with Mother Earth receiving her bounty, and the connection with the divine in you above. From this place you can see the future. We won't do that right now. You might be seeing glimpses of it. Let it come. It'll percolate. It's coming. But in a little while, your future will come to you. All right. So we're going to take the opportunity to touch your future right now with our light. Get you linked up. You may not see it right now. Just let yourself bring your attention back to where you are, back to your present moment, to your space in the room, to your body, the full body. Bringing this energy, bringing this vibration with you. You're grounded now. Opening your eyes. Nice breath. Just kind of stretch. Oh, just stretch a little bit. Something stretch. Ah, there you go. Woo! Yeah, that's great. Okay. All right. You're grounded. You're connected. You're not going to be woozy now for your lunch break, okay? So we'll see you here at 3:15. All right. Farewell for now.